This is Trendy. This is RTI.
Welcome to 2012 and Postcard from Pop Brad. Another tremendous year, we hope, providing some things that we've got on this programme do not happen. They might do. My name's Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in the east of Slovakia, in a little town called Poprad, hence the programme's called Postcard from Poprad. Your sideways look at the news on RTI. And in tandem, as always, we are the three musketeers, although only one of them's in France. It's Lee Banks first.
A tandem's two. Did I say tandem?
Yes.
First
what do
cock
you mean?
Up.
We're having a threesome.
No,
three musketeers, I said. Surely. No, actually, my brain's going. It's coming up later in the programme.
You're obviously over 45 then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
you're...
welcome, everybody. Hello, yes. Everybody. Happy New Year.
And you're sitting too far away from your microphone, Mark. So get closer. Before we get to...
he's just showing off because we caught him out again, Mark. Don't take that.
Inge Paris, co-founder of the consumer action group, Mark Gander.
Yeah, hello there. Happy New Year to everybody. And it's beautiful weather here in Gay Parry. Well, it's been raining and raining and raining, so all the pavements are relatively clean at the moment.
Oh, our pavements are lovely and clean as well. They're all white.
White?
With snow.
Oh right.
No,
honestly.
And that stuff.
Yeah,
what do you
mean
that
and
stuff?
It's really windy over here as well.
You haven't had any wind.
We have had wind. The last time I saw wind as bad as this, it was when my grandmother bent down to pick up a knitting.
I knew there was going to be something like that. Anyway, hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, you lovely folks on Audio Boo, and wherever else you happen to be, including Radio Tatras International. Just to give you a bit of housekeeping, we've got a new feature coming up soon, which is really good. I'm doing my bit for GB PLC, and we've got some guests ready for that as well. People are changing their lives in 2012, which could be kind of cool. Then we have a disaster moment coming up here.
Do we?
Yes. Lee does Mark and Eric's horoscope for the year.
Ah, yes, now, of course.
Ah, right. Yes, Mum. Oh, ah, goodness. Yes, brilliant.
Would you like me to do it?
What do you think, Mark?
Well, go on then.
Oh, all okay. Right then. Go on then, Lee.
Yeah, well, no, this is serious, because you all know that I'm a bit of a...
This is Gypsy Rose Lee we're hearing, is it?
I think
Gypsy
so.
Rogue
Crystal
Lee.
Ball.
Gypsy huh? Rogue Lee, just before Christy we start, Lee. Do you want me to get the sound effect of Tumbleweed ready?
Well, that'd be my opening music. That's really spooky, isn't it? I like the idea of that.
No, it's total silence.
All right, you do total silence, and yes. I'll fill the gap.
Off you go, then. No, you're supposed to be talking.
I'm building it up.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's not an owl. That was a wolf.
That was a wolf? What country do you live in? Right, horoscope of the year for Mark and Eric.
All right, what's your sign then, Eric? I'm going to divine this from the atmosphere.
Eh?
What sign are you?
Well, you're going to divine it from the atmosphere, then you'd know. What sign I am?
You're a Libra.
No, I'm not.
What are you?
Well, you're getting it from the atmosphere. You got.
I have to have that first bit. That
no, you've got, you're one down, 12 to go. You got the odds are getting better for you.
All right, then. Right, we'll do it this way, then. Aquarius.
Nope.
Capricorn.
Nope.
Sagittarius.
Nope.
Scorpio.
Nope.
Libra. Virgo.
Nope.
Leo. Cancer. Gemini. Taurus.
Yes.
Taurus, you're
not
getting a bull.
No, you went too fast.
Oh, Gemini, Two-Face, that's it.
No, I'm creative and sultry.
Right, you're ready. Anyway, this is a general one, right?
Okay.
I am now divining this through the atmosphere and through my greater powers of clinking and that sort of thing, right?
Mm.
This will be a very eventful year for you, too, you Geminis. There's only two of you, isn't there? Mm. New ventures take shape with new ideas and new goals in life, and your career will have peace and tranquility.
That's not possible.
And your finances, on a positive note, see finances, they say on a positive note. I mean, the ether says on a positive note. There will be some pessimistic approach to do with your money, but don't worry about it. By the end of it, it will work out. And your love like Eric's, right? It would be a passionate year, 2012. If you feel an urge to be loved,
You need to love as well. So that means no onanism.
Are you actually divining this as you're going along, or are you reading?
I'm reading this out of the atmosphere. No,
you're reading it out of the Daily Mirror.
I am not. There are greater powers passing this on to me from up above the world.
He's reading it from past issues of News of the World.
From Whopping.
Right. Yes.
Whopping?
It was a whopping great lie.
Right, your health, Eric.
Yes.
Your health. I'm getting a message through about your health now.
Right.
Your health is likely to take some physical and mental strain, is forecast. Hence, do not hesitate to take a break. What I'm doing, Mark, it's like automatic writing. I'm doing automatic talking. Physical and mental strain is forecast. Hence, do not hesitate to take a break or relax when time and finances permit. Artistic pursuits can be engaged to let the steam out. That's plumbing, really, not artistic, is it? Right,
I hope
Mark.
You've got copyright permission to repeat this.
What, from the ether?
From the ether. I've got copyright law or not. What's yours, then? Go on, then, Mark. What's yours?
Hey?
You're a farmer? Go on, what's your sign? What sign are you?
The Archers!
Eric, what's that got to do with
the
astrology?
The star sign of the bow and arrow. Archers!
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, Mark. I understood that.
He was sitting down, Mark. Don't worry.
So you're a Sagittarius.
I am a Sagittarius.
That is, you know...
Let me just say right now that there's 7.5% probability that whatever you say is going to be right.
Well, it's actually, the Sagittarians are probably one of the most influential and positive signs under the Ethernet, which I am now communicating with. And
Lee, yes, can I just ask a question?
Oh, go on.
Are you wearing Wellington boots?
Not wearing Wellington boots. There's nothing stupid about me.
You'll need them to walk and squelch your way out of this one.
I wanted this to be a new bit in our show. I've been practising this all year Christmas and New Year, and you're just taking the mickey out of me.
It's working. I can hear radio shutting off all over the world as we speak.
People are interested in this sort of thing just because you're an emotional and spiritual philistine.
This was supposed to be a new feature,
like his feature about getting it on for Britain.
Getting it on for Britain.
Yes.
Sometimes I despair.
Myself. Thank you very much.
Anyway, I'm doing Sagittarius now. Whether you listen or not, that is on your own head, be it, because you don't know who's up in that Ethernet looking down on you.
Right.
Right. It's a good time to expand your visions, Mark.
Mm.
Have lunch in a different restaurant or a shop. Or at a new store. Investigate various things and ideas. Hang on, I've got a new message coming. Try on new clothes. Try putting some clothes on, you pervert. A new concept. Spend time with your family. Listening to others. Tell stories. May soothe some unsettled emotions and satisfy your wandering mind. That's Alzheimer's. However, you can't live in the past because you haven't really got a past. No future, no past. You are a real gone kid. Learn from your mistakes and move on. I'm not doing it.
Yes.
Well, it's pretty good. I think it's very relevant, actually.
Shall we move on?
Well, nobody's interested in my future, then.
Oh, sorry, yes, go on, then.
Yeah.
Which...
Can I predict your future? I predict we're going to be moving on quite soon.
Yes.
You think you're really clever, don't you?
Are you Taurus, then, Lee?
I'm not. I'm a Pisces.
You're a fish.
He's a Pisces.
I'm a fish. I'm two fish together, actually.
You're a fish.
Direction. That's it, I'm too...
Is that how your good lady hooked you?
Now that is going into some awful, awful places, isn't it? If you pursue that with me, you know that we will get taken off the air, so I am not pursuing that.
Right, carry on. This show is obviously going to start off the way the year's going to carry on, toilet level.
Right, here we go. No, it isn't anything to do with toilets. Why's my horoscope got to do with toilets?
Well, because you normally take it there.
This is the first show of 2012,
and
all you've both done is laugh at me and take the mickey while I'm trying to do a public service.
Uh-huh.
So same as 2011 then?
Really? Yeah, really. Yeah, kind of. Just carries on, really, doesn't it? Mm.
It's continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, here's a top tip for you, right? This new thing about doing my bit for GB PLC, I agree with it 100%. That's exactly what we should do. And if on a day top tip, you phone in work and say, sorry, boss, say this. Sorry, boss, I can't come in today. I have a week off. He'll say, you've a week off? He said, yeah, oh, really? Thanks a lot, boss. I'll be off then. Week off. Week off. Mm-hmm. The boss says he can have a week off.
Right.
It's a top tip for the ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Should I do me zodiac now? Right, here's for the piskies of this world.
Right. That's the end of part one, boys and girls. We'll be back in part two of Postcard from Pop Brad. No, I'm lying.
Sometimes Pisces are actually sick. Other times they suffer from hypochondria. They are so demanding that they can wear out anybody's patience.
Yes.
When they feel rejected or lonely, they may turn to alcohol for comfort.
Yes, yes, yes.
They should avoid doing this. This lack of decisiveness is what diverts their purpose in life. Oh. Pisceans are most likely to suffer from nervous disorders, insomnia, anemia, and despondency. I do, I've got them all. They should live in bright, sunny, and dry climates, see? Not in windy old Grandma Britain.
Have you done now?
Yeah, that's it.
Right, in which case, we'll move swiftly on. Happy birthday, in a couple of days' time, to Stephen Hawkins, who I just admire so much. Professor Stephen Hawkins was born on the 8th of January, 1942. And when he was diagnosed with motor neurone disease at the age of 21, did he let it stop him? No. He got on with his life. And, sir, if anybody from you or your family are listening, I take my hat off to you. Huge respect. And I think what you've been doing, and he continues to do, he's still lecturing at Cambridge University, even though he's only capable of speaking 15 words a minute. At 70 years old, you're a star.
And by the way, we ought to point out he's aged 70.
Yes, aged 70.
When he was diagnosed, they gave him only 20 years to live maximum. That's right,
absolutely.
Right. But he's also had his ability to speak has been reduced now to almost one word a minute. And that's a real tragedy.
Yeah,
because there's nothing really left for him, is there? Apart from... Well, I didn't mean that in the negative way it sounded. I mean, there's not a lot left for him once he's lost the power of speech. And that's a real tragedy.
I wouldn't put it past him to design another way to talk to people.
That's right. And the other thing, no, can't do that. Carry on.
Because there are some people who have taught themselves, and I met a young man like this who sadly no longer with us because he had polio, and he was a member of the SAS, and he was in an iron lung, and he taught himself Morse code, and he used to blow into a pipe Morse code, and it would write on and I think it was an old BBC computer at the time. But he was actually able to communicate that way, and he wrote the programs for it as well. What a guy. Mm. And I wouldn't put it past Stephen Hawking to come up with something like that either. Sad news, the British Darth Vader. Now, most people don't realise that the stunt double for Darth Vader in the films was a gentleman called Bob Anderson, who was in the British fencing team in 1952.
And which is why they use lightsabers.
That's right. He was also in From Russia with Love as well. He died at the age of 89. And I just think, what an amazing guy. Absolutely brilliant.
And he used to do all this fighting, didn't he? He was good, but ha-ha, he couldn't fight that old enemy, Mr. Death, could he?
This is true. onto something that was probably going to get all the blood boiling. Here we go. Diane Abbott, who's a MP in the London area in the UK, who's a black lady. There's been an absolute outroar from certain quarters about a comment that she put on Twitter. Yeah. And the comment was, white divide and rule agenda. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was taken out of context, she claims. Other people say it was just racist. She claims no. But what I will say right at the onset of this is never put anything on the internet unless you're prepared for it to bite you on the bum later.
Yep, absolutely right.
Can I say something on this? Because Everybody knows that I have no racist bones in my body. And also, I am the greatest defender of the British press. Mm-hmm. Now, I do believe that what Diane Abbott has said was taken out of context and blown up into something
yep.
that it shouldn't have been. And I don't believe that was actually done by the press. I believe that was done by another MP who did that. But actually, what Diane Abbott said is actually in principle true and incontrovertibly true. Britain divides and rules. Our very parliamentary system is based on that simple belief.
Well, if you go back another century, you will find quotes like it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And it isn't a racist thing to say. It might be racist. It isn't even racist against Britain. That's what we are. We are a country that goes out to divide and rule. That's why we were known as the major colonialists for the last 3 years. That's why we're now out in India. We're trying to recolonise India now, and we will do it by dividing and ruling.
Well, the trouble with all this is it's the standards of which people decide something's racist.
Yes.
As well. And let me give you a perfect example. If you go to a Christmas party in Holland, it's a great example. You will go there when people will black up like the black and white minstrels.
Yeah.
It's not considered racist. But if you did that in the UK, there would be a public outcry.
But why is it racist to dress up as a black and white minstrel? Why is that?
I
understand why, but I'm trying to analyse it. It's like the greatest saying in Britain about racism, and this is what every racist in Britain says, and this is why they should not be, well, anyway, is that I'm not a racist, but... And then they go on to explain why they have racist views.
Yeah.
Why do we hate people?
I was worried about that when you started your piece off. I'm not a racist, but... And I'm thinking, hey up, lads.
That is the comment. You get it in any pub. I'm not a racist, but some of my best friends are blacks, but... You know, and then they go into this rant about racism and what's wrong with people. There is nothing wrong. I was married to an Italian for 7 years, as I always say. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I hate the whole Italian race.
No comment. Moving along, the BBC did really well over the new year with almost 10 million viewers tuning in to EastEnders.
Do you like EastEnders?
Not now, no.
I don't think I've ever
is that
watched
because
it.
You're, haven't you?
No.
Well, you're a bit of a cockney cock.
I'm a bit of a cockney cock. Mark, yeah. Oh, really? Right, must be a cockney cock, mate. No, I think I watched it, actually. Nah.
I mean, yeah. I did watch it when
well,
it was...
Well, qualified to comment on this, then?
Well, quite simply, because I stopped watching it probably 15, 16, 17 years ago.
So are you qualified to comment on it then?
Well, because I think Pat Butcher, that the character of Pat Butcher, played by Pam St Clement, is probably the last of the real iconic people that were in EastEnders at the beginning, like Angie and Den Watts, for example. And I just don't think that the soaps now have those iconic figures in them.
Oh, of course they do.
No. I don't see it.
What about Kane Dingle out of Emmerdale? Kane Dingle? Zach Dingle?
Out of what?
Ken Barlow out of Coronation Street.
Ah, now, Emmerdale. Ken Barlow's, again, one of the old school iconics. I've never watched Emmerdale. I never watched Emmerdale in my life.
But Emmerdale is actually, well, it has its ups and downs, doesn't it, like most relationships.
Yeah.
But it is also really one of the... They do ridiculous things in that show. Things that should never be done. Things that should never be invented, like playing the most crass song at the wrong point. And stuff like that.
You've lost me.
Full of bad direction. But, in fact, it is actually one of the best soap operas around at the moment.
All right.
You know, and Pat Butcher, yeah, I agree. Yeah, you wrote here, a mother, style icon, and everyone's favourite hooker. Mm. Well, Eric, I've never met her. But she was.
But that was her character. She was a hooker in the script. That's how she came into the square in the first place.
Yeah, that's right. I know. But she wasn't. And look at her track record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was she diddling?
Everybody.
A second-hand. Yeah, exactly. A second-hand car salesman. Yeah, who thought it was really funny.
Anyway,
I don't think it's any great loss to television, Pat Butcher.
Well, I think you'll find the show, if they continue taking the iconic figures away, will slowly and painfully wilt away.
Yeah, but they just substitute the new iconic figures, don't they? I mean, these kind of things. I mean, how long has it been going on for?
25
years?
At least 25.
Well, there's a turnover of iconic figures, isn't there? I mean, it's all about starting up new careers or allowing people to end their careers for 10 years or so before they then finally topple off.
And it's also the Darth Vader effect as well, isn't it?
Anyway, we were desperately trying to find good news on this first programme, and we'll have to ask Mark, I guess, if it is really good news or not, for borrowers, because the Leeds Building Society has slashed fees and valuations and deposits, and HSBC's having a go at it, Clydesdale's having a go, HSBC's doing something. Is this all real, Mark?
Well, I find it very, very strange because also in today's news, actually, there's a big announcement about how buying a house is going to be even more difficult this year because the lenders are going to be even more careful about giving mortgages. And I think it's also been announced that house prices in the United Kingdom have fallen by something like 1.83%, and on the news that it's going to be even harder to get a mortgage, presumably they're going to fall even lower. So I don't know what's going on here. Maybe the banks are trying to sort of say, well, look, you know, we're not all bad. Here's a load of good news. It's going to be really cheaper to get a mortgage, but actually when it comes down to it, we're still not going to give you one.
I think that could be a fair description of what's going on. I have to say that house prices haven't fallen in Britain to any great extent, and if they have fallen by 1.3% over the last year, well, how does that matter? How does that actually affect anything? You'd renegotiate 10% off your house anyway.
Well, yes.
So, but the good news here, and not many people will have looked at it this way, but actually, if you think about it, it is true. By giving these loans at 3.4% or whatever, 2.99%, they're not making it easier for people to buy houses at all, because I don't know how much that would save on a mortgage, but it ain't a lot of money. And you still need your 25% deposit. And to get that 25% deposit and be able to get a mortgage, you need to have a job. And the problem in Britain today is that we are returning to a feudal system where people don't have jobs. People can't get to work because of the price of fuel, because jobs are paying minimum wage.
And the hikes in rail fares.
Well, yeah, exactly. Can I give you a word of warning as somebody who suffered this many, many, many years ago, more like decades ago? The problem with getting these interest rates and you just being able to scrabble through, and Mark will probably remember this or have the history of it. At one point in the 1980s, I think it was something like 17.5% was the mortgage rate, or 15%, something like that. Yeah. And when I took my mortgage out, it was somewhere around 4 to 5%.
Yep.
And then within a couple of years, it quadrupled almost. Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, and this is absolutely the truth. It was my own house. I was on my own. And my sister and brother-in-law came round one day and she said, "You on a diet or something?" And I said, "No, I've just gone off meat a bit," lying through my back teeth, because I had enough eggs to make Yorkshire pudding. I found a few vegetables in the fridge, and I had enough bisto or something to make gravy. And that was my Sunday lunch, because I couldn't afford anything else. And you've got to be careful. You have. You've got to be really, really careful.
In 1989... which I think was the year the interest rates shot up, or it might be 1990, around about then. Anyway.
Yeah.
My mortgage, I was paying my mortgage, including an endowment policy, about £430 a month.
Ouch.
And when those rates started to shoot up to 17.5%, although they didn't remain at 17.5% for very long, my mortgage, and I was the same as you, I was living alone because we're basically very ugly.
Yes.
And nobody likes us in this right? So we were both living alone. And my mortgage went up to £780.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, as we get towards the end of part one, people have got the chance to resell their unwanted London 2012 Olympic and Paralympic tickets. Those are bought directly from the games organiser will be able to submit their tickets from February on a new website. The only downside is I can see everybody trying to sell tickets for tiddlywinks or something.
Well, I think that they're actually getting their money back as long as they can find another purchaser for it. And incidentally, this scheme is only going on to the 3rd of February. Mm. But my reaction is, and why on earth shouldn't they be allowed to do it anyway? I don't understand why it's news. And why should it finish at the 3rd of February? I think it would be entirely reasonable to have a ticket exchange system that should go right up till the edge.
It starts again in April. You can redo it.
Yeah. Oh, does it? Yeah, well, I'm very, very pleased to hear it. But it shouldn't be news. It shouldn't be done as some kind of favour. I think it's entirely...
No, when the guys at the organisers was asked, his answer was it's to stop ticket touts. They want to control it to avoid ticket touts getting in on it. But I'm sorry to say they'll get in anyway.
Well, of course they will. It's just megalomania.
Absolutely.
And if you've got the opportunity to sell your ticket back for your 70 quid that you paid for it, or for 400 quid, we know where you're going to go.
Why would you sell your ticket back? Is that because nobody wants to go to these?
See, a lot of people, Lee, actually booked all sorts of tickets.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
And more tickets than they really wanted.
Yeah.
Because you were never quite sure what you were going to get from the onset. Absolutely. And some people got four-figure deductions from their credit cards.
Yeah.
Well, put them on eBay.
I think the whole thing was a mess, quite frankly. I mean, it just seems to be... arranged
it's
in such
a very bizarre way,
chaotic way. Yeah, the whole thing's bizarre. Yeah. I think you're quite right.
Pull them on eBay.
No. No. As we do genuinely get towards the end, let's wish Aretha Franklin every success with her new long-term friend becoming her partner, because she's got engaged at 69 years young.
Yeah, and she said that it's not because she's pregnant.
She did.
Yeah. She said, and BBs. I'm not pregnant. LOL, she said. Lots of laugh.
Yeah, I like that one.
BBC News Flash.
So come on, you two. What was one of Aretha Franklin's hits?
Well, she quite liked me.
Very good answer.
Well, she said, this sister ain't doing it for herself anymore.
Oh, very good, Mr. Banks. Very good, Mr. Banks. Oh, but there again, I forgot you're old, aren't you?
We read our horoscopes.
Yes.
Things can happen to you. I am connected to the Ethernet of the gods.
Do you know the only Ethernet I've got round here is what sends the internet around?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about a higher plane than you.
No, but that's what my Ethernet is. It's Ethernet cables and plugs.
You know, all horoscopes were in a plane.
What?
Yeah, they are. They're all up there in a sort of Iranian spy plane drone, actually.
Yeah, and they just drop them down on your heads as you walk down the street. And it changes your life.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Have we got to the end yet?
Are you sure about this?
Like a huge bird dropping that just comes out of nowhere. And that's your destiny.
Everybody say it's a load of...
stop it! That was the end of part one of Postcard from Pop Brand. We'll be back faster than you can mix up a milkshake in your new mixer.
RTI, your choice.